This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. This exchange between Jesus and Pilate is actually very typical of any discussion a Christian might have with a skeptic when trying to share the gospel. Just look at the conversation. Pilate is an unbelieving military leader and politician. He's been charged with keeping the peace in an unruly and violent province, Judea. So his concerns are over the political situation. As a Roman, he could not have cared less about the squabble between the Sanhedrin and Jesus over Jesus' truthful claim that he was indeed a king. Pilate couldn't have cared about that. All he wanted to do was keep the peace and his job. So he asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Not because he wanted to put his faith in Christ, but because he wanted to figure out if Jesus was the ringleader of another sect that would threaten Roman rule over the land. To make sure we understand, Pilate's concern was whether or not Jesus was guilty of sedition against the Roman administration. Now, Jesus is speaking of who he really is. Jesus is getting to the heart of the issue, like he always did. Jesus asked him, "Are you speaking for yourself, or did others tell you this concerning me?" In other words, do you really want to know, or do you have some other reason for asking this really important question? Furthermore, Jesus' question was because he knew that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were attempting to manipulate Pilate for their own interests in what political power they had under Roman rule. Not only that, Jesus was calling attention to the obviously and clearly unjust nature of the things the Jews were saying about him. Pilate, being a cruel military dictator, was a ruthless leader, but he was also sharp enough to see what the Sanhedrin was trying to do. We see this by Pilate's dismissive reply. He asked, "Am I a Jew?" It's like he's saying, "Am I one of you folks? Do I really care about what the Jews' religious beliefs and the defense of their little kingdom means to them?" He wanted to try to separate himself from the actual tribal squabbling that was going on there. Now then Pilate asks, "What have you done?" He asked this because he's still trying to get to the bottom of why the mostly Sadducee crowd had brought charges against Jesus. It's like he's saying, "What have you really done? I'm not seeing any dangerous political or criminal intent here." He saw absolutely no evidence whatsoever that Jesus was attempting to overthrow the Roman administration. So he's saying, "What did you do? What kind of charges are they bringing against you that actually amount to criminal activity?" Now, Jesus stayed on topic, which is when we are witnessing to a skeptic what we have to do. when we're trying to share the gospel, never let yourself be distracted by a sidebar point that will lead you down a rabbit hole and way off course on what the subject really is. So Jesus is staying on topic. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Spiritual kings do not rule by force. We see this truth at work when Jesus allowed himself to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. What happened? Peter cut off the high priest's servant's ear, but Jesus rebuked Peter for drawing the sword. And not only that, he healed the guy's ear. Did a miracle of healing right in front of the people who were trying to arrest him. And remember in the account of the Gospel of John, when Jesus said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." What did they all do? They fell down. But what did Jesus do? Nothing. He stayed right there. So right then and there, everyone should have known that Jesus was not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. And he had no political intent in any of that. So Jesus said, "Yes, I'm a king, but my kingdom isn't in this worldly realm. My kingdom is not fleshly or carnal. If my kingdom were like the kingdoms of this world, my followers would be fighting, but they're not." This meeting was basically telling Pilate that Pilate didn't have anything to worry about. "No, my followers aren't trying to overthrow the Roman administration of this country." Now, no pitcher in Major League Baseball could have thrown a curveball any more perfectly than Jesus did right there with Pilate. You see, if Jesus had admitted to being an earthly king seeking political dominance, Pilate's task would have been really easy. He would have punished Jesus by death, because that was the punishment for sedition. Politically, though, Jesus wasn't guilty of anything. The fact that Pilate was still stuck on the earthly side of the issue is pretty evident here. Remember that just a few minutes ago, we were looking at this scene as a reflection of how matters about Jesus butt up against the world. Pilate's answer, as we started out, indicates that he's still focused on the things we can see and not the real issue. This is common when we're talking to someone about the gospel in attempting to get them to focus on the deeper issues. Pilate's concerns again were skin deep. "So you're a king?" Looking at this, we can't see any more of a profound contrast between the two kingdoms and the two very distinct worldviews. Pilate, on the one hand, would do anything to have power and glory. Jesus gave up his glory to come down to earth. One of these valued only what he could touch and see. On the other hand, Jesus taught that we're not supposed to lay up treasure for ourselves upon this earth. One ruled by manipulation. The other, Jesus once told a crowd, "You are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." One of those present in this scene was dressed with the signs of his office. The other had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus' willingness not to show his majesty and his true identity was evident on the Mount of Transfiguration. He showed his three main disciples, Peter, James, and John, his heavenly glory. But then what happened? He went back to being plain. He let that glory go, and there he was standing there in his worldly clothes. And here's a striking detail to add at this point. Jesus was the one who was in control of that scene, not Pilate. Then there's the ultimate meaning of this event. One New Testament scholar notes that Jesus was telling Pilate that Christ's rule over his own kingdom and is speaking of ultimate truths are inseparable. And it has to be this way. Because Jesus is the King of Kings, we have to believe that he is the only pathway to salvation and eternal life. We get salvation only through him. He is the truth. He is not just the source of truth. Again, He is the truth. He is the righteous judge. There is no way we can get around this reality. Then Pilate shows us his true colors. He shows us that he's truly a son of this world. What does he say to Jesus after Christ's statement that he came into this world to bear witness to the truth? Pilate does what anyone, any human you will ever talk to who is mired in this world and its ways will say. What is truth? Pilate was showing exasperation, maybe even a hint of sarcasm, but his question rings through the centuries and is heard so often in our world. The dominant belief of this world today is that there is no one sure, clear source of absolute truth. The world's view promotes a massive series of squishy gray areas where there is no real truth. Truth is what we make it. Truth is what we want it to be. Truth is what we think it is. And it might be different tomorrow. But that's Pilate. And that's any person we might be witnessing to in this world. They're going to say, what's truth? And who says so? In that crucial moment, Pilate is showing confusion and maybe even fear because of his wife's dream about the true authority of Jesus. Remember, she came to him and said, don't have anything to do with this man. I have suffered a lot in a dream this morning because of him. There's one detail here we can't miss. And the truth is, Pilate didn't really want a true answer from Jesus about what the truth is. The text tells us, when he had said this, that's when Pilate said, what is truth? Immediately, and it's like he's muttering it to himself as he goes away from Jesus and shouts to the mob, I find no guilt in him. So he says, what's truth? And he dashes off immediately. So we know then that Pilate didn't really want to know. Do we know anyone personally who doesn't really want to know what the truth is? We're going to find those people when we try to witness to them. Pilate actually was trying to find a way out of the situation. He knew Jesus was innocent. He knew that Jesus hadn't done anything worthy or deserving of death. So he had decided to have Jesus flogged, hoping that the flogging would pacify the crowd. But it didn't. The Pharisees whipped up the crowd even more into a greater frenzy and got them to say, we want Barabbas. Interestingly enough, Barabbas's name means Jesus, son of a father, because his whole name was Jesus Barabbas. It didn't mean Jesus, son of the father. Son of a father. So they got what they wanted, a worldly solution to a spiritual issue. Humans will, without the influence of the Holy Spirit, will always reject Jesus. But we have the blessed opportunity this morning to again recommit ourselves to choosing Jesus, God the Son, and rejecting the ways and the belief system of this world, because we have a place of truth where we can stand ultimately and know that we're on the right side. So let us choose wisely and rededicate ourselves this morning to following Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.